Father, we love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for those in this early service that love you, many that have been walking with you for some time. Thank you for their faithfulness, for their diligence. Lord, today, we ask that you'd speak to us and minister to us. We put our trust in you. Lord, we want to be filled. We want to be used. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, we are hungry for more of you. Break us out of the box, Lord. Stir us up. Shake us up, Lord. God, just stir off of us the lethargy, Father, that we'd be excited, passionate, Lord, the way we were when we first got saved, when different things have happened in our life. Stir us up. Break through the numbness, Lord. Bring a new passion, excitement, and joy into our hearts about you, what you're doing. Lord, we want to be a part. So we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, today I'm going to be kind of going back and forth from Acts chapter 1 and 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So if you want to just kind of mark both of those, and you can just turn back and forth and follow me, and that will help you out. I've been in this advanced series now, and I've really felt in my heart that God wanted me to just go back to some discipleship in our ministry. Even those that I'm not talking about just beginners, but to those that have been walking with the Lord as well as those that are maybe new in the Lord or just never got rooted and grounded. And I'm now in maturity 2, and this is part 5. My heart really is to equip people to reach maximum potential. And today, this is really a given if we're going to reach our maximum potential. I want to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we're never going to live a victorious Christian life. You know, without the fullness of His Spirit, we're never going to know the fullness, the fruit of His Spirit. We're never going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. We're never going to come into that potential that God has until we put our complete trust in the Holy Spirit and depend on Him alone. Stay filled every day. Can somebody say amen? See, that response tells me I'm right on target. That you guys need to get filled up. I mean, that was deader than a doornail. It was deader than a doornail. How many know you need to be filled up with the Spirit of God? And God needs to stir us up a little bit. It was a little forced, but thank you very much. And we need to get filled up. We do. Something has to happen to stir us up, to get us to that place again. And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do it, and it's going to take a commitment. You know, I'm going to try to do this quickly. I've got a lot of material, but I got just a little more time today. First of all, that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He's not a thing. He's not an it. He's not just a force. And we learn that in Romans 8, 27, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, that He is a real person. He is a member of the Trinity. And in Matthew 28, verses 19, 2 Corinthians, there's many, many scriptures. I just put a couple. And that He is God, the Holy Spirit. That He shared in creation. He's eternal. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And that He is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who brings new birth to us. And He answered, truly, truly, I say, except a man be born again of water, that's being born in the natural birth, and of the Holy Spirit, that he can't enter the kingdom of God. So he is very God and has part in all these things. What we need to understand is there's a difference between personality, being a person, or corporeity, which is having a body. But he's still a person. And think for a moment. In John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. No man has seen God at any time. God's a spirit. He doesn't have a body like ours, but he's a person. Is that right? And the Holy Spirit is a person. It says, no man seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him unto us. So God exists as an invisible spirit without flesh and bones. And as God and the Father, creator and ruler of the universe, he is himself a person. And so also is the Holy Spirit. So I want us to understand that he lives in you. And he's a person. He's there. And when you begin to recognize him as a person, can you imagine a person in your house or in your presence and you never pay attention to him? What that would do? What kind of relationship would you have with your wife, with your kids, if they were there but you never paid any attention? You treated them like they weren't alive. like they weren't there. Well, what kind of relationship? It's through the Holy Spirit that we have a relationship with Jesus, and it's through the Holy Spirit we have a relationship with the Father. Can you say amen? Recognizing this person. And that's what brings the presence of God. That we recognize the very presence of God by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So it's the only way that we're going to live, that we're going to know the victory, we're going to know the fullness that we have. And I want to tell you, if you feel a need of the Holy Spirit, man, in need of God, it's a gift from God that He's giving you. When we feel like we don't really need that anymore, we don't have to seek Him anymore, man, you're on your way to real death. I'm not talking about just this, you know, death. I'm talking about just a death in our relationship to the Lord, with deadness of life. So He's the one that brings the vitality and the joy and the fervor and the passion and the excitement to us, that life is worth living every day. And that's why we go to church, and why we worship, and why we give, and why we share everything we do. And then we live and breathe and have our very being. Can you say amen to that? So he is the answer. And that He's the one that meets all those deficiency in us and all those needs and fills us. He has the answer. He has the answer. He's the answer. Well, 40 days after His resurrection and just before His ascension, there was a period of 10 days then from His ascension until the outpouring of God's Spirit. He told them to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, "And being assembled together with them," Jesus, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, when He said, 'For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And then again, Jesus said that in the book of Luke, just before His ascension. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, you wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." So He told them, wait. He said, don't go anywhere. You just, before you do anything at all, you wait. And the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and He's going to give you the power to do what I've called you to do. Don't do it in your own strength. You wait on me. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 again, that Jesus, as He's speaking, He said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." And then right before their very eyes, as He shared the last words with them, the last thing He said, "Wait for the Holy Spirit. It's going to bring power. You're going to be witnesses unto me." Not just witnesses in what we say, but witnesses in the way we live, witnesses of the Spirit of God upon us and in us as a witness that will be different from the people that are in the world. And then right before their very eyes, He ascended into heaven. So Jesus told them earlier that, but they just didn't fully understand at the time what He was really talking about. Because in John chapter 16, He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, then the Comforter won't come. But if I depart, I'm going to send Him to you." They didn't understand what it meant, that He was going to ascend, and then 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Man, 120 believers were praying all in one place, and the Spirit of God came upon them. So, penta is the word 50. And that there were 50 days between the resurrection of Jesus and the outpouring of the Spirit. It was the fulfilling of the Pentecost feast that they celebrated. In the same way that Jesus was the fulfilled Passover, that He became the Passover lamb. God, all the Old Testament feast days are something that Jesus fulfilled, or things that are going to happen. Next thing we're looking for, you know the next feast? It's the gathering out. It's the going home of the church. That's the thing we're looking for. That's the next thing we're looking for. Are you ready? Are we filled up? Are you excited about Jesus? It's more, I mean, oh, Jesus, help me. It is more than just going to church. I mean, we're in a living relationship with a living God. Oh, man. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that day came, it says in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, you can kind of follow along if you want. It says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, then they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven." It says there was a rushing, mighty wind. It wasn't some little quiet thing, you know, like we're all here religiously waiting. You know, man, you think that, I mean, no pun intended, blew them away, you know? I mean, it blew him away. A sound of a rushing, mighty wind. And then these split tongues fell on all of them. They weren't little teeny flames. They were engulfed in the flames of God as it sat over the top of all of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were so filled up. It's like they were just drunk in the Holy Spirit. They were just so filled, man. The Spirit of God came over them. They were just overwhelmed, overpowered, immersed in it. They kind of staggered out into the street, and they were still praying and speaking in tongues, and they were speaking in the languages of people that happened to be gathered there for this celebration from all these other nations. And they all heard them proclaiming and giving glory to God in their languages, and they knew they didn't know those languages. And then they said, what is going on here? And some said they marveled. They didn't understand. They just gave glory to God. Others were confused. Others mocked it. And then Peter got up and some said, they're drunk. He said, it couldn't be. They're drunk. It's early in the morning. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel 800 years ago. That God said he would pour out his Spirit on his sons and daughters and that we'd be filled with the Spirit of God. And so God fulfilled his word. In Acts chapter 2, verses 32 and 33, as Peter got up and preached that message, and that they were pricked in their hearts, but he said, and this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured it out, that which you see in here now. That's what's happening. St. Augustine, you know, the noted saint that came out of the Middle Ages, who wrote many books, a real theologian, he called this event Dies Natalis, which in Latin means Day of the Holy Spirit. Just as Christmas is the recognition of the birth of the Son of God, so Pentecost is recognition of the birthday of the Holy Spirit that he came upon his church. And that Pentecost is also the birth, think of it, as the church, as a world movement, as the Spirit of God empowered them. And man, I mean, and that changed the whole world in that time. Just in one generation, when the Holy Spirit as a person infilled those early believers in every place they went, that they brought that life to other people, that just in one known generation, you know, that they touched the whole known world and that everything was stirred, everything was turned upside down. And it was because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what motivated them. You know, we're kind of slowing down, church. You know, we're kind of slowing down. Why is that? Because we don't feel that need for the Holy Spirit any day. We just got real religious. We got real comfortable. We got everything in its place. You know, you just kind of, we do this, you know, and then this is our time here, but this, we'll give this to God. You know, living with God is giving everything to God. It's surrendering everything to God. It's being infilled. It's being endued. It's being controlled. It's the passion of God in our life. God is not something we put on the shelf and just kind of, he's there. God wants to immerse us with his presence, with his purposes. Can somebody in here say amen? So he wants to stir up that gift in us. So I'm not only talking today to people that never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about people who have it and you've just kind of stuck it to the side, you know. It doesn't mean that much to you anymore. So the Lord wants to do something in us. Man, it's what you need. It'll revolutionary change your life, and it'll change the people around you and people that you meet. And that's why the devil fights it. And that's why he doesn't want us to be involved in it. He hates it because he knows what happens when we start getting filled up with the Spirit of God. That, man, we're going to walk all over him. That's how he knows that. And if we just think we're religious and comfortable and we're doing okay, then he says, just keep him that way. Just keep him thinking that. But when we start saying, man, I need God. I want to be the real deal. I don't want to just be religious. I don't want to just, you know, have everything, my ducks in a row and go to church and be nice and dry. You know, man, I want to be used to God. I want to fulfill his purpose. And how many know you're going to stand before him one of these days? Listen, this is not about pride or ego. But one of these days, God is going to say, didn't you hear what I put in the mouth of Pastor John Lloyd when you were in that service? And you did nothing. I keep telling you. But you're going to stand before him one of these days and you're going to say, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I listen? Man, here I am in eternity. All that stuff's nothing. Wood, hay, and stubble. This is the only thing that matters. And I didn't believe it, man. Well, final exams are coming, folks. I mean, they are, you know, they're coming. So because of this, I want to deal with 8 questions in a few moments today about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe 9. We'll see. First of all, do all believers receive the Holy Spirit when they get saved? Absolutely. Everybody. when they believe on Jesus. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And it says, and after you trusted Jesus, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit when you receive your salvation. So every believer that puts their trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into their life. He's there. It's impossible to be born again without the Spirit of God. Number two, did the disciples have the Holy Spirit before Pentecost, before what happened at Pentecost? Yes, they did. Listen, it says, and this was before Jesus ascended. In John chapter 20, verse 22, it says, when he had said this, he breathed on the disciples and said unto them, receive the Holy Spirit. So they already had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that just because you have the Holy Spirit does not mean you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're two different things. I want to make that clear. And that we know baptism, I've shared many times, comes from the Greek word baptizo, B-A-P-I-T-Z-O. And that just means placed into. That's what it means. It means placed into. You can be placed in lots of stuff. You can be placed into a mess, you know. And it actually talks about being baptized into trouble, being baptized into the cloud. It talks about Moses and things. But the main things we talk about, first baptism is into Christ. We are placed into Christ. For by one Spirit we are placed into one body. It's a baptism. When you got saved, you're placed into Jesus by who? By one Spirit. The Spirit placed you into Jesus Christ and that he came into us. Second is we're baptized into water. We're placed in water because of our testimony. But the third is the Holy Spirit and that we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it says in John the Baptist, he bore record and he said, and I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and it fell on Jesus. And they said, I didn't know him, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And then I saw it, and I bore record that this is the Son of God. So we're baptized in water by a believer. We're baptized in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into salvation. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit by Jesus. Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. So it's an experience. Number three, can you be saved and not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Some people say, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. That's not true at all. The scripture says, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. Not everybody has all those gifts, but the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is offered to every believer, every one of us, that he wants to give it. If God's got a gift, I mean, you know, God gives good gift and it tells us to desire spiritual gifts. Why wouldn't we want a gift if God's got a gift for us? And I mean, he's going to do better than Monty Hall. I can tell you that. You know, I mean, if God's got a gift for you, why wouldn't we want it? Well, I don't know if I want a gift from God, you know, might change my life. That's the whole idea. It is going to change your life. Hallelujah. So, hey, praise the Lord. So our tongues of God, you know, God's gotten some bad press about this. And the devil made sure it happened because he didn't want people to have breakthrough victory in their lives. So it was all anytime God's doing something good. Hey, you can count on it. There's going to be all kinds of negativity and bad press. Not everybody spoke that well about Jesus. They're still not. Is that right? So our tongues of God. Okay. Yes, of course they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 5 said, Paul said, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. He says, and even more that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesied that he speaks in tongues. Because tongues is greater because, I mean, prophecy is greater because the whole church hears it and is edified. But Paul doesn't say not to do it. He says, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. So he's not saying it's an insignificant thing because of the victory that it brought to him. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 14, 37 through 39, he's going through the whole chapter about spiritual gifts. As he explains all these gifts and how things have to be done to edification, how things have to be done in order in a certain way. He says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, then let him understand the things that I'm writing. They're the commandments of the Lord. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So if today you say, well, I don't agree with you, Pastor. Well, I'm not going to get on you. If you want to be ignorant, be ignorant. That's what it says. Isn't that? If a man wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If he doesn't want to understand this stuff, then just let him be closed. But why wouldn't our hearts want to be open? I'll tell you one thing. I was raised in a church where they never even talked about it. I don't know if they even knew about it. I mean, they must have known about it because one of the things on their logo was a flame, you know. So at least they were, you know, they had a picture of what was happening, a cross and a flame. But that never happened. But it was kind of good because that they didn't teach against it. They were ignorant of it. But they didn't teach me all the reasons it wasn't for today and wasn't of God and wasn't of the devil the way it happened to some of us. And so that was, in a sense, a blessing. And he was on to say, Paul said, if any man, you know, then if any man, you just let him be ignorant. It says, therefore, brothers, desire to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Paul says, don't forbid speaking in tongues. Don't come against it. You know, it's a blessing. So, yeah, tongues are of God. Or tongues for today. Some people say, well, you know, it was just for the apostles. That was just in the apostolic age. That's not really for today. Well, listen to this. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter sent unto them, talking about salvation and what's going to happen. He says, repent means, you know, turn from our sins. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Be baptized in water. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the, listen, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's us. How many know God's called you? So the gift is for us. It's for everyone that will come into the body of Christ in all ages that it's given. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, that it's talking that chapter how love is greater than all the gifts. How the gifts are temporal, but the love of God, love, hope, and charity. What? How does it say it? It says, what are the three of them? I should know that. Faith, hope, and charity. It says, but the greatest of these, and charity means love, the greatest of these is love. The eternal things and what God's doing. So it says, love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there be tongues, they'll cease. And they say, see, tongues are done. It says tongues will cease. But wait. And then it says, and whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. And so it's saying, you know, that knowledge too, it's getting, you know, knowledge is wrong. You know, that's not what this verse is saying. It says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And they say, well, what was perfect that came was the Bible. And now we have the Bible. What's perfect? We don't need these things. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about Jesus. Because listen to the next part of that verse. For now we see through a glass darkly, dimly, but then face to face. You don't see the Bible face to face. You see Jesus face to face. When Jesus Christ comes back, we won't need gifts of healing. We won't need tongues. We won't need any more miracles. We won't need to prophesy. We got it. We won't need those gifts anymore. But until Jesus comes, we need everything that God can give us. Well, some of you guys are getting it. Praise the Lord. Some of you are still a little bit cold today. Hallelujah. So, you know, God wants to do something in this. He wants to stir us up. You know, another argument, they say, well, you know, tongues, they're not for today. And what you're doing is not really tongues. What happened in the Bible on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2 there in verses 5 through 8, the Spirit of God came on them and they all began to speak in languages of the people and people understood them. So if you were really speaking in tongues, you'd be speaking in language that people would understand. Well, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. That is what happened on the day of Pentecost. But that's not what the individual gift of tongues is for. It's for our own prayer language. It's for our own understanding. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, the Spirit, he speaks in mysteries to God. So it's very clear. You know, I've had people say, that's just gibberish. Oh, yeah? When I'm speaking in tongues, I'm speaking to God, my Father, in a spiritual prayer language that only God understands. I'm on my own private line to God, man, and I'm tuned into God Almighty. So that's what this is all about. This isn't, then through the years, people have flipped out and fanatical and all kinds of stuff. Anytime there's good stuff of God, the devil, if he can't keep you away from me, he'll try to mess you up by throwing you over the line and being weird, you know. There's a balance in it. That's why Paul wrote the letters to the Corinthians. So, yes, of course, you know, the Holy Spirit is for today. Here's the sixth question. Can you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues? No, that's what it is. Some say, well, I don't speak in tongues, but I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you had an experience with the Holy Spirit. There's hundreds of experiences you can have with the Holy Spirit. You know, they're all glorious, but it's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what's happened to you. You know, if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's always an evidence of speaking in tongues. That's what it is. It's your prayer language. That God gives you a prayer language. That's what the baptism is. So the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is our spiritual prayer language. It says, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, for they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what happened. That's what takes place. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When I pray. I don't pray with my understanding. I'm praying by the Spirit of God that's in me. In special, miraculous, powerful prayer that comes from the Holy Spirit. I can't even pray right. So God does that and helps me by His Spirit. I mean, that's an awesome thing, isn't it, church? All right, here's number seven. I'm moving along pretty good here. All right. Of course, this has 40 points. Number seven. Okay, number seven. Are tongues the least important of the spiritual gifts? Some would say, well, tongues aren't that important. Okay, no, they're not. You know, first of all, prophecy is the most important gift. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:1, desire prophecy. But then in the list, if you look in 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10, prophecy is not even first on that. It's not first on that list. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:28 and 30, prophecy is not even on the list. Here's what I want us to see, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the first gift to be given on the day of Pentecost and the first gift that was promised. It wasn't healing or miracles or even prophecy. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And why is that? Because I believe that when the Spirit endues you with power and that there's a fullness, there's a yieldedness, then we begin to open our hearts to God and then other gifts begin to manifest themselves. Amen. See, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can't get yourself. You can't fake it. People trying to fake speaking in tongues, I mean, they're going to feel weird, and believe me, we're going to feel weird. You're just going to go, da-da-da-da-da-da, hachi-hachi-hachi, time of a tie, see my butai, and time of a tie. You know, I mean, it's like... You know, it you can't fake it. Either have it or you don't. It's black and white. You have it or you don't. The only way you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is you go to God and say, give it to me, and He gives it. And so until we come to that place, we're trying to do it ourselves. But this is something we can't do. We yield. And it's the first breakthrough that the Spirit of God, where there's a yieldedness, and when that happens, then He can begin, as we see and understand that, then other things begin to happen in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we yield and we trust Him and we know He's going to do awesome, a mighty thing. Can you say amen to that? So it's also the only spiritual gift called the gift of the Spirit. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the next thing, it's the only gift that the disciples carefully prayed for people to receive throughout the book of Acts. Not the other gifts, that gift. When Philip, he went outside of Jerusalem, the first place he went, the first place that God sent him was Samaria. Samaria was half Jews and Gentiles, not to the Gentiles first. It was kind of the transition, half Jews and Gentiles. And when Philip went there, he was preaching to them and says, and when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, or baptized in water, men and women. And then Simon himself believed also, he was a sorcerer. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles, the signs which were done. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John down. Check it out. What's going on? When they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had not fallen on any of them. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and then they received the Holy Spirit, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the sorcerer Simon says, man, I want that. And he said, I'll pay money for it. And man, Peter rebuked him. He said, you need to repent. This is something you buy. And so at first it happened there. Then it happened with Peter at Caesarea. And it, while Peter was preaching, it was all Gentiles this time. Matter of fact, God had to deal with him a little bit even to get him to do that to the Gentiles, because he was thinking he was a little better than Gentiles. And while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit, he's preaching. In the middle, God interrupted him. God, do it today. That'd be awesome. And it says, "And these the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision which were coming, that were there with Peter, they were came along with him, the Jews that were there. They were astonished that those that came with Peter were astonished, because that on Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And at Paul's conversion, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says, Ananias, a brother, was sent to Paul after he was knocked off of his horse on the Damascus road. He was blind. Ananias went his way, entered into his house, putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, has appeared unto you in the way as you came. He sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So we just got saved. Man, Paul was more than just a nominal trying to just get saved Christian, you understand? He had it. He had the goods. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's the one that taught on it. He's the one. He had it. The Holy Spirit came on him. And then, listen, then as Paul went on sharing it every place he went, here's what happened with Paul at Ephesus. He came on a group of people there, and that they'd been John the Baptist disciples and had been baptized. And he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said unto him, "Well, we have not heard about whether there's any Holy Spirit." And they said unto them, "Well, then, you know, what were you baptized into?" They said, "Well, we were baptized with John's baptism." And then Paul said, "Well, John baptized with a baptism of repentance." He said, but just about Jesus that would come after him. And then when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. That's what happened. That was normal business with the early church. Every place they went, they led them to Jesus, and they prayed for them to get the Holy Spirit. You know, they prayed for them to get saved, and then they just didn't leave them out there with no power. They prayed for them, laid hands on them. Hallelujah, shandalakai. You know, things began to happen. Power of God came upon them. That's why they didn't backslide. That's why they didn't get all caught up in the world. That's why the world was changed and turned upside down. Man, the devil doesn't want you to get this. He didn't want you to get it. Amen. God wants you to be filled with power to walk in victory. So I want you to understand, the disciples, they didn't emphasize, you know, other gifts, miracles, and word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or prophecy. That it was about receiving the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It became that fountain, that rivers of living water that would flow from our bellies. And out of that fountain then came the other giftings and things that would happen, and the miracles and all the awesome things that God wants to do in our lives. All right. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just going to read this to you, and then we'll spend a little more time with it later. But the next thing I want to share with you is, you know, what does it do? What actually does the baptism do? I'm just going to read it without a lot talking in detail at all. What's it for? What's it do for us? What's it all about? Well, one, it produces power. You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit's come on you. Not just hallelujah, you know, but it's power to live it. Power to live in victory. That we live under the power of the Holy Spirit. The word there actually is dunamis. It's the same word. We get the word dynamite, and it's the same word translated in miracles in 1 Corinthians 12:10. It provides power to live the Christian life. You know, and it also says that we'll be witnesses. And the witness is not just in what we say, but witnesses in the way we live it. And the word witness there is the word martyr. Not that you're going to all lose your life. It's talking about that we die to ourselves. That people see it in our life and then in our words. Words are empty without actions behind it that people see it. Can you say amen? All right. So then the next thing, number C, is that it unifies believers. You know, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came and all those believers, 120 of them, and then after that, the thousands that came, it unified them. It forged them. It molded them together. They became one body. They were in church, man. I'll tell you that. They didn't miss church. Matter of fact, they were in small groups all week long, and then they came to church and came together in the temple, and God added and added and added to the church. It unified their hearts by the Holy Spirit. The word "in one accord" is used in the book of Acts in chapters 1 through 5, 6 times. In one accord, in one accord, in one accord, in one accord, one accord. It was a spirit that forged and molded and then brought together. If we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, what are we filled with? Me. Does that unify us? No. It separates me. I'm different. I'm distinct. I can do what I want. It's my own time. I live in America. I'm free. Hey, I don't feel like going to church today. Hey, what do you mean? You know, somebody else will do it. I don't need to volunteer. I don't need to go out and pass things out indoors. Somebody will do it. I don't need to do anything. You know, there's no unity. You know, but when the Spirit comes, then he deals with us. You know, what's the most important thing in your life, Spirit's saying? You, your stuff, or is it about Jesus? And then we're willing to yield. It's a martyr complex where we're willing to lay our lives down and be faithful to Jesus in everything that we do. So some of you are resistant now because you're not filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you want to do it. It's not like, oh, no, I got to do it. You want to do it. You want to do it. You know. You know, I don't have to be here today. I don't. I've got a choice. I say, I got something better to do. It's a holiday weekend. I deserve to be off. I'm going to memorialize a little bit myself. I want to be here. I want to be here. Something I want to do. I could take time off. I could travel. I could go speak in other churches. I could use a little extra change in my pocket. I could. And some people do that. But that's not my motive. I'm not there to make money and see what I can do and go out and hustle, man, and speak at other churches. I want to be here. It's the Holy Spirit. It's about God. It's about his calling. It's about his purpose. Okay, so it unifies believers. It's a gift of prayer. That's the main thing. That's what it does. In Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we don't know how to pray as we ought to. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. We can't speak in our normal language. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not to men but to God. No man understands it. In the Spirit we're praying to God. So it's a gift of prayer. Woohoo! I mean, when I got saved, my life was changed. But what changed my life was more than anything after that. Was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mean, it changed my life. I was just different. I had a new power, new passion, new desire to pray. Man, before I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my prayer was just dry. I mean, I spent time with the Lord. You know, I talked to him, but I didn't know what I was doing. There was no passion there. There was no power of the Spirit. I just prayed kind of generalized prayer. And I'd be done, you know, 5 minutes. I prayed everything I knew in 5 minutes. Until the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, and then I had a new desire to pray and to really seek God. So it says in chapter 14, verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. He prays by the Spirit of God that comes in us. He prays in us and through us. He says, my understanding is unfruitful. I'm not praying with my mind and what I know and understand. I only know so much. I know a lot, but no, I don't. I repent. I can only pray what I know. I don't know about your life, what's going on in your life. So I pray and ask the Spirit of God to pray through me. He knows everything about every one of you. And he can pray and intercede. It's an awesome, awesome thing. So that we pray. And you're going to hear more about this. Let me just read the list. It tells in 1 Corinthians 14:4, it's for personal edification. He wants you to be built up. It tells us in the book of Isaiah that it brings rest and refreshing to us. He brings rest. I'm so stressed. Well, you need to get filled with the Spirit of God. Quit paying for all those drugs and psychologists and all that stuff, man, and taking all these things. Ugh, you know, the Spirit of God will bring rest and refreshing to you. It produces faith in you. It produces faith. Man, so what are some of the needs you have now? What are all these things that are stressing you out and all these needs and stuff that's happening in your life? The Holy Spirit is the one that will bring faith into your heart to lift the stuff off of your shoulders and things will start happening in your life, in every area of your life. Why don't you just let God start praying about it through you, the way he wants to put things together in your life instead of you juggling it, trying to do it in your own strength, worry, 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 and then saying some desperation of prayer to God. Let God control your life by the Spirit. Let him pray and lead and guide and direct you. That's normal Christianity. Somebody say amen today. Okay, so here's the last question I've got. 9 of them I got done. Man, it's a miracle. How do you receive it? How do you receive it? It's a gift. You don't work for it. You know, you don't earn it. When you got saved, you didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't become righteous. You didn't do a bunch of good works. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. He said, number one, desire it. You have to desire it. If you say, well, I don't have any desire for it, I don't want anything to do with it, believe me, God won't touch you with a 10-foot pole with it. You know, you do this, God say, hey, I respect you. I respect your free will. You're missing out, but I'm going to leave you alone. No, he may not leave you alone. I mean, he may just by his love just kind of, he might by his love just kind of keep tugging, you know, but he'll do it, you know, as a gentleman, but his love to say, you need me, you need me, you need me, to kind of break down. But he says, desire it. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Well, that's not my gift. Well, what are you desiring? The gift of prophecy? That's the first, he said, to desire. It's most important. So is that what you're desiring? I'm not interested in tongues. Okay, are you desiring prophecy? Well, no. Well, what are you desiring? Well, maybe knowledge. Yeah, I want to be smarter. But that's not what it is. It's a word of knowledge. It's a supernatural gift called the word of knowledge. It's calling out when people are sick or something that we don't see, understand, and are natural, that only God can bring the knowledge about it. It's a supernatural acting knowledge. It's a word of wisdom. It's just a word. It's not, you know, the whole library full. It's for the moment. A word of knowledge for the moment. For the wisdom. It's like prophecy. So what are you interested? Discerning spirits? You're going to begin to discern evil spirits and the spirits of people around, the gift in the church. Yeah, what are you desiring? Miracles? Healing? Tells us to desire spiritual gifts. Does it say that? How many believe that's God's command? So are you? You want more of God? Are we desiring spiritual gifts? Well, the first gift that was given was baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was God's will. And then ask for it. If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He wants to give it to you. He wants you to have more than you want it. And it's going to change your life. And then receive the gift. If somebody says, here's a gift, say, nah. You receive it. So then Peter said unto them, that if you just turn to me, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, you shall receive. You'll receive it. Receiving. And I want to remind you this. If you look at the scenarios that I read to you in different places they went, that in when they went to Samaria, they'd been baptized in water, and then they received baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when they're in Caesarea, they hadn't been baptized in water. Peter was just preaching. They hadn't even got around to it. And the Spirit of God fell on them. Now all the Jews were amazed. God can't do that. I mean, you know, what's he doing? Baptizing, he made a mistake. God, look at your calendar. Something's going on, man. They're not, you know. And that when the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles, that's what Peter said. So can you stop? Can you prevent these from being baptized in water now? Since God accepted them, they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, I guess not. So then they baptized them in water. So you don't have to be baptized in water to receive the baptism. The only thing you need to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit is be saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you don't know the Lord. And so then the Lord, the Spirit of God will come on you. Okay, ask for it. Receive the gift. And believe. He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water, refreshing life. He spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe should receive. For the Holy Spirit, he wasn't yet given. Jesus wasn't ascended yet. But it was going to happen, and it said to be glorified. And lastly, then you're going to speak. They spoke as the Spirit gave utterance. Today I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me through all that stuff in a short time. Hallelujah. Now, don't be that excited about it, please. But, Father, I pray, Lord. I pray for people in the service that know you, that received this glorious gift. Just while, you know, heads are bowed and eyes are closed for a moment, everybody. How many of you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Lift your hands up. See your hands all over the room. I just didn't want to do it, you know, and say, oh, look at me and embarrass people that may never have had it. See, you know, just hands everywhere. But if you can put your hands down. But, Lord, I pray for people that have received the gift. Lord, you said, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. I pray for people, Lord, that receive it. They stir it up. Lord, that every day they stir it up. That they get the passion back in it. They see what it's going to do. What's going to happen. Their life's going to change, Lord. Lord, we've just let the fire go out. Lord, stir up the embers. Put it back into flame again. Blow on it, oh God. Bring that passion. Bring the power back into our life. Bring the excitement. Bring the zeal. You become number one in our lives again. Not all the stuff that's consumed us and robbed us, oh God, of the power and the joy. Stir our hearts. That we make a commitment today. God, stir it up. Thank you, Jesus. And you begin to do it. You just begin to exercise it. God will stir it up. It'll come. It'll begin to happen. And if you're here today and you've never received the gift, God wants you to have it today. See, what I need to get ready? Open your heart. That's it. Just have faith. And God will give it to you today. And I also want to ask, if there's anyone here this morning, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You can know about Jesus, but never meet him. Believing is not enough. It's receiving Jesus. When you receive him as your Lord, when you put your trust in him alone for your salvation, at that moment, he makes entrance into your life through the Holy Spirit. That can happen today to you. At that moment, he gives eternal life. It has to do with your soul. Until Jesus is in your life, your soul is lost. This is what is it? You can gain the whole world and lose your soul. Eternally separated from God. Oh, man. If I didn't know I was saved, I've said this, I mean it. Knowing what I knew, you couldn't drag me out of this church. I'd fight all the way if I didn't know I was saved. You can know you have eternal life. You can know his love. You can know his goodness. You can know his peace. You can know the fruits of the Spirit. And if you've never received him, you can know that. Is there anyone today and you say, Pastor John, I've never done it. I've never put my trust in Jesus alone for my salvation to receive it as a gift. Without any of my good works at all, I don't have to do anything, no, not be good. That's right. There's none good, Jesus said. He's the only one that's good. He provides righteousness to you. He becomes our righteousness. When I said, Lord, forgive me, he forgave me. And when I said, Lord, come in my life, he pronounced me righteous before God the Father. I didn't do anything. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of good works. So nobody can brag. And if that's you, I want you to lift your hand. You say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? I want to know him. If I can know him and know the assurance of eternal life, that he'll come into me, I can meet him, I can experience him. I want you to lift your hands up. When I see your hand, you put your hand down. Will you say, pray for me? I need him in my life. Is there anyone this morning? Where? It's hard for me to see, but we're back in the overflow. Yes. Is there anyone else this morning? Yes, I see your hand. Is there anyone else this morning? You say, pray for me. You slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. I know I need him. Yes. I want to ask you, you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can all stand up. Let's all stand to our feet. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, man, besides getting saved, it was the greatest thing that happened to me in the Spirit of God. Nothing better has happened. I mean, there's been a lot of experiences, but that's what just really brought life and a new passion and excitement into my life about Jesus. It changed so many. I couldn't even tell you multitudes of things because of that. As I began to pray by the Spirit of God. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we're going to do is we're going to have you come down. Then we're going to take you into prayer. We're not going to do it here. And we're going to pray for you. And there was one lady or girl I couldn't see. That, well, you're both same, aren't you? I mean, if you're a girl, you're a lady. If you're a lady, you're a girl, right? Because I always say I don't care what their age, you say, how you doing, girls? And they may be, 95, but I'll say, how you doing, girls? So but if you raise your hand, I'm going to have, I want to go out this way because it's going to get confusing, I think. If you would, please, matter of fact, let's have an elder couple do it with this lady. Could you do that, Ernie? And right over here. Ernie and Mary Ann are here, and I'm going to have the person that raised their hand, just come on down here. They're going to spend a couple of minutes with you. And if you never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen, take that step of faith. Go for it. It's time. Man, God wants to, he wants to break the bars. He wants to bring that joy, that we talk about that becomes a reality and experience in your life. And I want you to come down and meet with me right here at the altar. Just come on down. Wherever you are, just step out. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Listen, you need to do it. And if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I mean, what? Didn't you hear what the Lord said today? How can we just turn our back and say, no, I just keep doing it myself? It's a dead end, folks. It's a dead end. God's the one who's going to do it. Come on, brother. Who else? You've not received it? Come on, step out. Go for it. Take that step of faith. God wants to do it. Hallelujah. Come on over, Brad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who else? Come on. Hallelujah. He's going to do it. All right, man. Woo-hoo. All right. Come on. Where are you? Step out. God's going to do it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Brother Wayne, God's going to do it, man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who else? Come on, step out. Go for it. Amen. This is the day. Yeah, just like salvation. When you said, why did I wait so long? After you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you say, what was I waiting for? This is awesome. Anybody else? Come on. Father, I thank you, Lord. Today, Lord, they are going to receive this gift. They're going to know you. They're going to know you in a new way in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're going to follow Pastor Brad and any elders that can help out. Not all the elders, okay? But if some of you go over there, amen. Now I want to ask, church, how many of you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You can put your hand down. How many know you need to get that thing stirred up again? I already knew that. Lift your hands. Father, stir us up. Stir up the gift. Pray with me. Stir me up, God. Stir up that gift in me, Lord, that I can begin to pray with my spirit, that I can know you in a deeper way, that I can know that passion, the power, God, your strength. Give me that desire to worship, to witness, to give my life completely, fully. Fill me with your spirit. Once again, stir me up, God. Stir me up, God. Stir me up, God. Stir me up. Lord, I give myself to you that I will begin to seek you every day, praying in the Spirit with my understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now listen. Listen. All right. I talked all morning about it. There should be no understanding about what tongues is about. Is that right? Yes. All right. So it said, if you pray in tongues, don't do it before unbelievers because they won't understand what it's about. Well, everybody understands what it's about now. And people were going together who didn't have it. So let's just pray in the Spirit. Oh, well, let's just pray. Just fill this place. Yeah, I mean, out loud. Just go for it, passionately. If you haven't had it for a while, do it. Oh, fill us, oh God. Ola tara yara andara ma yara andara mashandara yara 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 ma ma yara yara andara mashe yara yara ma kia tara ma yara ma mondara ma. Oh God, breathe on us. Breathe your spirit. Fill us, oh Lord, the overflowing. Fill us with joy, with your passion, with your love, with your grace, oh God. Lord, as we pray, as we intercede, open doors. Lord, let the fire fall on us once again. Let the fire fall. Fill us with faith. Oh Lord, with expectation. Lord, we give it all to you. Bring a new desire, Lord, to pray, to seek your face with the gift you've given us, Lord, that we'll see your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Let's praise the Lord now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's given you a gift. Don't bury it. Come to prayer meeting Saturday night. Let's as a church unify. Start praying. What do you think would happen if the church really began to pray in one accord? We'd see multitude souls every service. Well, that building would be paid for in just a short time. If we'd really start seeking God and quit just playing church. I'm waiting for everybody. Let's do it. God bless you. Have a great holy day.